न्यू सर्विसेज डिवीजन ऑफ आकाशवाणी प्रेजेंट्स नॉर्थ ईस्ट डायरी।
गुड इवनिंग एंड वेलकम टू दिस एडिशन ऑफ नॉर्थ ईस्ट डायरी एज वी एक्सप्लोर द फैसिनेटिंग नॉर्थ ईस्टर्न पार्ट ऑफ इंडिया। ईच एपिसोड ब्रिंग्स न्यू इनसाइट्स एंड कैप्टिवेटिंग स्टोरीज। हियर इज अ स्नीक पीक एट व्हाट वी हैव इन स्टोर फॉर यू टुडे। Today, we have an insightful interview with Dharmendra Prakash, IFS, Principal Chief Conservator of Forests and Head of Forest Force, Nagaland, where he will discuss important environmental issues. We will also bring you an inspiring story from Tripura, where a class 10 student is preparing for his board exams. But first, let's head to the Kohima correspondent Mary, as she shares a special report on Nagaland Cinefest 2025, a festival that brought together filmmakers, creatives and film enthusiasts to showcase the growing talent in the region's vibrant creative sector. Films and cinema, they have the power to tell stories, evoke emotions and also to spark the change. The Nagaland Cinefest 2025, hosted by the Department of Information and Public Relations in partnership with the Ministry of Information and Broadcasting and the National Film Development Corporation of India, is under the theme Celebrating Stories, Inspiring Minds. This festival is a perfect example of how cinema continues to thrive in the Northeast, and we are excited to see what the future holds for the region's budding filmmakers.
The two-day Nagaland Cinefest kicked off in Kohima with a grand opening. During the inaugural event, advisor to the Chief Minister and Chairman of the Investment and Development Authority of Nagaland, Abu Mehta, took the stage to emphasize the state government's vision for nurturing the creative sector.
I think Nagaland has great potential in the creative economy. We are unable to tap that. That's why the state government under the Chief Minister is now carrying out an extensive exercise to map the creative economy of the state. And there are so many verticals: festivals, film, cinema, sport, music, entertainment. And what does the creative economy do? It ensures there is no brain drain. It ensures there is no drain of talent from the state.
In his speech, Mr. Mehta highlighted the success of local talent making waves in the creative economy and announced exciting plans to expand the film festival during the Hornbill Festival in future editions.
We already have a very unorganized and by default a very strong creative economy. This will be formalized, and I'm happy to let you know that we will be closely working with the department so that we have a bigger, better festival related to film and cinema in the Hornbill Festival. We will collaborate with the ministry, we will collaborate with foreign embassies and foreign governments, we will engage the real stakeholders of the filmmaking industry, be it in filmmakers, be it directors, be it actors. You will design, formulate and guide what we are planning together as one team, and we'll have one big one at the Hornbill Festival, and hopefully that will become an annual event in the years to come.
The Nagaland Cinefest 2025 was a whirlwind of emotions, captivating discussions and unforgettable moments. Audiences were treated to an impressive lineup of films and documentaries from both local filmmakers as well as from Meghalaya, Manipur, Mizoram and even Singapore. The fest also featured insightful masterclasses from industry professionals, filmmakers and actors.
Beautiful people from around the world.
From the silver screen to the minds of young creators, this festival was more than a celebration of cinema. It was a launchpad for future stars, marking the beginning of what promises to be a flourishing movement for the creative arts in Nagaland. For Northeast Diary, Mary, Akashvani News, Kohima.
कुछ पाने की हो आस आस कोई अरमा हो जो खास खास आशाएं हर कोशिश में हो बार बार करे दरियाओं को आर पार आशाएं तूफानों को चीर के मंजिलों को छीन ले आशाएं ले दे
Folks, it is often said that where there is a will, there is a way. And that's certainly true for a remarkable 17-year-old class 10 student from Tripura, Dhalai district, who's preparing for his board exams under challenging circumstances. What is the story behind this inspiring young student? Let's hear it from our Agartala correspondent Kunal Shinde.
The class 10 exams of Tripura Board of Secondary Education is underway in the state. With hundreds of students appearing for the exam, one student who has become a talk of the town is Romeo Rankel. Romeo is a student of Kamalachara School in Ambasa town of Dhalai district and is appearing for the exam by solving his papers by his foot. Romeo is 80% differently abled, which obstructs his writing ability with his hands like other normal human beings. However, undeterred by the challenge, Romeo in his childhood learned the art of writing with his foot. According to his father, Hariram Rankel, the zeal and indomitable spirit of Romeo is evident from the interest he has been showing in taking education seriously over the years. Hariram Rankel also said that Romeo gets upset and even breaks down if they are unable to take and drop him at the school.
हाथ नहीं चलता है लेकिन पैर चलता है यो कोशिश है अभी पढ़ाई में वो अच्छा से ध्यान देता है एक दिन स्कूल नहीं जाने से भी वो रोने लगता है मैं स्कूल जाऊंगा बोल के जिद करता है आजकल वो बहुत खुशी खुशी में यो एग्जाम देने जा रहे हैं आज भी
Ms. Deepali Dev Barma, the assistant headmistress of the Dalubari Gate Higher Secondary School, which is the center where Romeo is giving his class 10 board exams, said that she was awestruck when she saw his foot writing, especially when she saw him solving the English language paper.
Unka bhavishyat ujjwal bright hone ke liye aur bhi jo chahiye unka wo success karne ke liye hum log chahte hain aur hamara school ka jo mera sahakarmi ho सब लोगों का सब टीचर का उनको सहायता करते हो
While solving his papers, there are invigilators who sit by his side to ensure that he does not face any issue. Nevertheless, he flips the answer sheets independently without anyone's support and continues to solve the papers. Exiting from the examination center, after appearing for the social studies paper, Akashwani spoke to Romeo. He said he was satisfied with his attempt to solve all questions and is keen on studying more.
English aur Bangla vishay ki pariksha hui hai. Main aur padhna chahta hu.
For those who prepare to drop out from the school or college, Romeo's story of self-determination can be a classic example of how to overcome the challenge and move on the path to glory, which can come only with one thing, and that is education. Kunal Shinde for Northeast Diary from Akashwani News, Agartala.
And now it's time for our Personality of the Week segment, where we bring you an exclusive interview with fascinating individuals making waves in various fields. Today we are privileged to speak with Dharmendra Prakash, IFS, Principal Chief Conservator of Forests and Head of Forest Force, Nagaland. In today's interview, Mr. Prakash shares his valuable insights on environmental issues and sheds light on the Nagaland Forest Management Project, NFMP, which recently won the prestigious SKOCH Award in New Delhi. Let's join him now in conversation with Mary Mays, our Akashwani News Kohima presenter.
Good evening, listeners. Today, we are seated with Mr. Dharmendra Prakash, IFS, Principal Chief Conservator of Forest and Head of Forest Force. We will be covering a number of important points, basically on environment, forest and climate change, and particularly with regards to the Nagaland Forest Management Project, which is being implemented by the Department of Environment, Forest and Climate Change in Nagaland. We are very happy to have you, sir. Thank you for your time, and we look forward to a very insightful discussion today.
Thank you, Mary. It is my pleasure that you have decided to cover the issue, which is quite pertinent in today's time.
To start off with, sir, kindly highlight to us about the NFMP, Nagaland Forest Management Project.
Yeah, Nagaland Forest Management Project is basically externally aided project being supported by Japan International Cooperation Agency. Way back 2013-14, there has been interaction between the government of Nagaland and government of Japan that there should be one externally aided project in the state of Nagaland. So there had been a lot of field studies. And finally, in the month of January 2017, the agreement was signed. And this project came into existence with effect from 1st April 2017. This is a one-decade program. The main focus of this project is, you know, forest conservation through rehabilitation of the jhum, the conservation of the community areas where the people have already taken up their initiatives, livelihood improvement and community development, and in the last is the institutional strengthening. Because of late, we felt that our infrastructure at the ground level is not so up to the mark. Not only that, the skill which is required for the people to handle, you know, livelihood generation or the skill which is required for the protection and conservation of the forest, this needs to be upskilled. So under institutional strengthening, we had been doing this thing.
And what were the main reasons behind initiating the project in the first place?
Yes, that is a very right question. The main reason for, you know, moving for this Nagaland Forest Management Project has been that over a period of time, this is an observation of the government and the department also, that the jhum cycle, the shifting cultivation cycle, was reducing gradually. Somewhere in 1980s, when the jhum cycle was on an average 15 to 18 years, slowly, it started coming down. The reason had been the more pressure on the forest areas, ever increasing the population. And also we wanted to look into the livelihood security program for the forest-dependent communities. So these two factors are the main factors which forced department to have a thought for moving a big project. Because, you know, in externally aided project, normally the size of projects are quite big and the coverage is also big. So we thought by having one externally aided project, we can, you know, handle all areas of the Nagaland in a very, very suitable manner.
Thank you for the insight, sir. Can you share a little bit about the challenges you have faced while implementing the project on ground and how you went about addressing those?
For any project to launch, it is required that we must have a good communication network with the people. Here in Nagaland, as you are well aware, that Article 371A has vested land and resources with the people. Thereby, the forest, approximately 96% of the forest areas, they are in hand of people and the community. And these are the areas which are our target area. So biggest challenge at the very beginning was to reach out to the people and tell them about the objective of the project. Many a times there had been doubts. Because, you know, sometimes we had been given to understand that people had been interacting with many agencies, but very few had later on got converted into the reality. So there had been initial suspicion whether these people will come back or not. The second thing was that in many villages we have found there had been some, you know, different groups who had different idea or who had, you know, different take on any project. So, to make these diverse group to sit on one table and come to a conclusion, I agree to what we are going to do, that was the biggest challenge. To begin this project, we always needed to have prior informed consent of the village. In prior informed consent, we go to a village, we explain our objectives, we explain our methodologies, and then we seek their cooperation and then there is a written document. So, no doubt, the first step was the most difficult.
Malb, you have shared about the objectives and challenges that you have faced. Overcoming all those, how has the project impacted the lives of the rural community? And also, can you kindly share how the project has uplifted the masses, especially the self-help groups?
This project is designed to cover 185 villages. These 185 villages are to be covered in four batches. Now the first three batches, most of the works have been done. In the fourth batch of the villages, we have started the work. And now in each village, we had planned for three number of self-help groups. You will be happy to note that all these self-help groups, the members are only females. The inherent objective of this project was also the women empowerment. So in 185 villages, we have reached to 144 villages. In these 144 villages, there are 429 number of self-help groups which are working. To each self-help group, we have given a corpus money, the revolving fund to them, and then through micro-lending within them, their group to the members, they had been generating revenue. They have created many vocations at the ground level. I'm happy to let you know that our self-help groups, they are taking up piggery, poultry, handicrafts, weaving, pickle making, soap making, soft toys. Some places, the products, they have been channelized, they have been aggregated so that they can find a common place to sell it. It is difficult for individual self-help group to reach to the market. Like in the case of Voka, there is a brand which is known as Freshly Voka. Through this project, we have created an outlet where all these self-help group members, they are showcasing their project and people are encouraged to go and buy it. So this kind of emphasis where women are taking up these activities on their own is rather making the whole effort for the conservation strong, because now they devote their labor, they devote their spare time for the activities which bring the economic returns.
Coming to the conservation and impact on the environment, can you kindly share how the implementation of the project has increased the forest coverage across the state and how it has rejuvenated the Jhum areas?
See, in this project, we have a target of 185 villages with a total area to be covered is 79,000 hectares. Now, there are five different models of the forestry in the regions. Of course, like, you know, you can say Jhum agroforestry model, Jhum fado forestry model, Jhum forestry to conversion, then extension of protected areas, all those things. So, in these five different models, the maximum area which is given is the area where people have already taken initiative for the conservation, protection and expansion of the conserved area. Out of 79,000 hectares, 50,000 hectares are meant for that. Nagaland is pioneer as far as the community reserves are concerned. So, we just wanted to incentivize these initiatives of the people. Now, I'm happy to let you know that out of 79,000 hectares, 40,000 hectares have already been treated under this project. 2 million person days employment has been created at the village level. Approximately 85 lakh saplings have been planted in different models in those 40,000 hectares of the state land. You'll be happy to note that in this project, we have taken a decision that there will not be any purchase of saplings from outside. The saplings are grown locally and only the village people are engaged for the development of the nurseries. It is quite heartening that so far, approximately 100 number of different local species have been taken up for the plantation. Now, there is a report that, you know, the loss of topsoil because of the excessive rain, it has reduced. Many places where the wildlife have not been spotted earlier, they are being seen. Moreover, the interest the people are showing towards the conservation, that is the most important, I think, the outcome of this project. When people themselves are coming forward, advising us, ki itto hobo pare, inka korle itto hobo, itto gach na lagabi, itto gach lagabi. So, now, this is a participatory management. It is, you know, bottom-up approach. It is not that anything which is forced to the people from the top. The Joint Forest Management Committee in each village, they take the decision that what will be the entry point activity. Under entry point activity, anything is done subject to availability of fund, which people want, which community want. So it is their decision. So there is a kind of empowerment. I believe, you know, whatever has been done for the forestry conservation, what will be the most significant outcome of this project is that people feel that they are the part of the governor. That is the most important.
You have rightly mentioned about engagement of the villagers. Sir, can you highlight a little bit more on the involvement of the local communities in the project in particular and conservation in general? And how knowledgeable are our village community now regarding conservation?
when our people go to the village, the first thing is that they interact with the villagers in presence of village council members. They narrate what are the objectives. The village elders, they huddle together, they discuss, then they come up. Joint Forest Management Committee is constituted in the same village. Thereafter, SSGs are picked up. The Joint Forest Management Committee, you can make out from this fact that as far as the funds are concerned, the funds are not entirely managed by the department. The Joint Forest Management Committee is co-signatory in all the transactions. That means each and every penny which is spent in the field, in the village, it has consent of the Joint Forest Management. Now, coming to this thing, awareness and knowledge is concerned. See, we are also conscious of that there is a need for the capacity building. So, accordingly, large number of capacity building programs have been done. It is being done at the village level. It is being done at the range level. It is being done at the district level. And also, we are making Joint Forest Management Committee members to move from one district to other to see how best or how good the other Joint Forest Management Committees are doing. It is a case of, you know, kind of a learning exercise. Like, there are some Joint Forest Management Committees who, despite their best, have not been able to achieve the desired result. Whereas there are some Joint Forest Management Committee members who have been able to do much more than what has been expected. So we are trying to crisscross. Those who have not been able to do good must visit the area. So, and you know, to supplement all these things, this project has, you know, developed 10 number of different manuals, starting from how to run the Joint Forest Management Committee, the entry point activity manuals, the SSG manuals, nursery manuals, capacity building manuals, all those things. Our field officers, they go, they interact with them in their local dialect. So that impact is, you know, good. So I believe that, you know, all those Joint Forest Management Committee members who had been working with us in this project, they are quite thorough with this thing. They are so much competent and capable. They themselves propose, sir, ito area de ito wala model kulle bhala se. So it is coming from the people only, and accordingly we facilitate.
The efforts of the departments are like they are being recognized, especially recently in the national level, as it has been awarded the Scotch Award 2024. With regard to this award, who or what aspects of the project would you attribute this achievement?
This award to NFMP, the what has been given is known as a Scotch Award. A Scotch Award has been instituted by Association of Inclusive India. They have the members of the CEOs of the different institutions. And this Scotch Award is primarily meant into the economics, infrastructure, the natural resource management area. This is not a government award. This is an initiative of the people, an initiative of independent CEOs. And this whole process of nomination and all those things started 6 months back. There had been different rounds of evaluation, online presentation, physical interaction, the inputs from the field and all those things. And only thereafter was the institution of Scotch, they are satisfied, they get in touch. And this year we have been given this Scotch Award. This is precisely for the forest conservation and the livelihood generation. And of course, this is an acknowledgement of, you know, people's participation in the government projects. You know, the biggest strength of any project in Nagaland is the people's connect. It is a tribute or acknowledgement to the people who are associated with this project. And definitely, I feel happy that organizations are now taking note of the serious effort done by our people, our staff, who had been working tirelessly for the last 7-8 years. So, it's quite motivating.
And finally, what will be the impact of this recognition on the project in terms of visibility and future opportunities?
In natural resource management, I'm told we are the only one who have been given award, one of the few from the Northeast. So, the news travels. Of course, like in this project, the working system of in this project, the GIS lab of this project, the people's connect in this project, they are quite unparalleled in the country. Many states, they had been sending their delegations to visit Nagaland, see how NFMP is doing. But anyway, such kind of awards, they add icing to the cake.
Thank you so much, sir, today. As we have seen, the department is doing a wonderful job, and especially with the NFMP project. And we wish you all the best. We congratulate you for the well-deserved Scotch Award that you have been honored with. And we hope for more laurels in the future as well.
Thank you, Mary, for your kind words. Through this channel, I would like to convey my sincere thanks, and I want to compliment all the stakeholders in the estate who have been involved with this project since very beginning. And I request that with sheer hard work, we will earn much better recognition and the name in time to come.
So friends, you just heard an exclusive interview with Dharmendra Prakash, IFS, Principal Chief Conservator of Forests and Head of Forest Force, Nagaland. The interviewer was Mary Mays. What is Phagun without love? And what is love without music? With this thought in mind, we present to you Hagunore Ba, an Assamese song about romance in this crazy, windy season of love, written and performed by Maitreyi Parthar.
Nukua ko eki nukola e dhani patoli ahi terula Nubuja ko e mone mone Gupone hepa he kore guna gotha Phaguli phagun Rune chun rune chun Tumate na sono Phagun aur ba lage paasu aavane Phaguli bola hore ro Tumi umi tumalu e moyu je vani
So with this, we come to the end of this edition of Northeast Diary. Do join us next week, same day, same time, to hear more stories from this enchanting part of India. Till then, goodbye.
This program was presented and produced by Vinita Thakur with assistance from Kumar Gaurav. It was brought to you by the New Services Division of Akashwani.